you will live.
Okay. So the portion we read from the Kitovei Shlichim, Hebrews chapter 4, deals with Shabbat in a little bit of a different way, which is why I connected it with this week's portion. Okay, just as the Haftorah actually ends up dealing with it somewhat as well. The Haftorah ends up dealing with it as a reason for the exile. Not so much here. Shabbat, the whole idea of the Shabbat, as the author of Hebrews, who we're not sure who it was, we just knew who the book was to. It was to Usens. The author is communicating to us what Shabbat really is. And what happens is generation after generation after generation tries to separate the two aspects of Shabbat. Okay? Keva and Kavana. Keva and Kavana. Okay? When we received the Torah on Shavuot at Sinai, we said, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. We did not say we will hear and we will do. We said we will do and we will hear. This emphasizes the importance of keva. Of keva. The physical doing. The physical doing. It's the Nike commercial. Just do it. Yeah. Now, God in His Torah gave us three different types of mitzvot. The first type, mitzvah, is a mitzvah that He says, do it, and this is why. God said, wear tzitzit. We just read it, Numbers chapter 15, right? Why do we wear tzitzit? The men wear tzitzit because we look at them and remember all of God's commandments and do them. Okay, so God, Hashem is very nice here, right? He tells us why. Why do you wear tzitzit? So I'll remember all the commandments, right? Why does Tino wear tzitzit? So I'll see them and I'll remember all of the commandments. Pretty good. But there's other kinds of mitzvot. There's a mitzvah that says if somebody murders somebody, they shall be put to death. Now, this isn't exactly the same. This isn't God doing something. This isn't God telling us to do something for God. This is God telling us how to execute judgment. Right? Somebody kills somebody, they're to be put to death. This is a completely separate type of commandment. Right? This is not mitzvah. This is mishpat. Mishpat. Judging. Mishpat. It's between people. Right? Torah teaches us, if I steal something from Cliff, right? I have to give it back to him. But not only do I have to give it back to him, I have to give him an extra 20% of the value. Right? And I have to ask for forgiveness. Only then can I approach God. Right? This is a mishpat. And it's a good one. It's a good one. Right? How many lawsuits does this avoid? You know, the Beit Din says, well, this is what Torah says. You got to give it back to him and give him 20%. Next, what's next on the docket, right? It's a very good, it makes sense, it's a good deal. And there's the mishpat. So that's the second kind of commandment. mitzvah, where God explains, and mishpat, it's a judgment between people. Okay, now we've got a third kind, the most mysterious kind, the chukah. Now, with a chukah, chukim, sometimes chukot, it depends. This is a commandment that God tells us that he doesn't explain why. On Sukkot, you were to take a lulav and etrog, right, the etrog, the fruit of the hadar tree, the beautiful tree. I'm glad the tree is beautiful, because an etrog in and of itself, not, it's kind of ugly. Oh, except the price of etrogs, those are great. They planted an etrog tree years ago, they get it etrogs. Okay, and the lulav, the palm branch. You're to take these things on Sukkot. Where are you supposed to take them? It doesn't say. What are you supposed to do? It doesn't say that either. It says you're supposed to take them. Okay, and most important, the sentence ends there. You are to take the palm branch and the etrog. God, why are we supposed to do this? Silence. Okay, so we don't know. Personally, I think this is a kindness of God to keep people at the Bima employed, because you can make up all kinds of reasons why it's a good thing that we take the lulav and etrog. It represents people, it represents Israel, it represents this is what I call sermon fodder. Right? You can make, you know, so. But what does Torah tell us? Not a thing. It's chukah. Okay? Another chukah in Leviticus 11, right? Don't eat this stuff. Do eat this stuff. Why? Why do we have kosher? Now, I can make dozens of sermons on why we should keep kosher, but God doesn't. He doesn't tell us why. When I was young, my mother, may she be remembered for a blessing, wanted to encourage me to read and enjoy poetry. And so she introduced me to a poet named Ogden Nash. Now, the wonderful thing about Ogden Nash and poetry in the English language is he's got a whole bunch of poems that are only one or two sentences that are wonderful. And so I got to really enjoy poetry starting in small doses. It was really fun. So Ogden Nash has a poem. It's called The Fly. God in his wisdom made the fly, and then forgot to tell us why. Okay, and he did the same thing with Chukim. And it just doesn't tell us. So what are we supposed to do with that? And the most important thing with the chukah is do it. Do it. The most important thing about a chukah is not what I can stand up here and tell you how wonderful it is. The most important thing about not eating pork is not that you'll never get sick from trichinosis, which is true, but that's not why we don't eat pork. I mean, if you give a pig a worm pill, so we know it doesn't make it kosher, right? And I could stand up here and say, well, what it does is it makes you kadosh, it makes you separated for God. I can make up all kinds of stuff. But it's not things that God told us. God told us to do these things because I said to do it. Right? That's it. That's the reason for the keva. Just do it. Now, the other side of it is that you don't just do it for the wrong reasons. That's kavana. Right? We were talking about this in Pirkei Avot class this morning. It's a great discussion. You're to do things for the right reasons, with the right heart. Otherwise, it means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I'll do this just to stay on God's good side. Right? I'll bring this sacrifice because, you know, I know that it says to bring the sacrifice, and the priests like it when I bring the sacrifice. So I'll bring the sacrifice. I have a motive. I have an ulterior motive. Okay? Now, you know who was dealing with this an awful lot? Was Isaiah. And Isaiah is telling us the just do it part ends when you have the ulterior motive. If your motive isn't right, the just doing it part means nothing. God gets pretty graphic here through Isaiah. He said your Rosh Chodesh offerings, your new moon offerings, are like used menstrual cloths before me. Means not worse than nothing. Why? Kavanah. What's in your heart? And the same thing is true with Shabbat. You've got keva, which is you do it, and kavanah. It's that you have in your heart to do it because God said do it. Not with reluctance, but with joy. If you just do, you know, we all get there. We're all in the same place, and we're in the diaspora also. Right? So the only time this particular store is open that I could get to because I work all week is on Saturday. Well, one Saturday I can, you know. But that's not right. I know God doesn't want me to, but, you know, psychologists will tell you that everything before the but is nullified. Make a butt of yourself. Okay, so Shabbat is exactly the same thing. You've got to have the right kavanah. You've got to have the right kavanah. Yeshua was all over this. So was Hillel. Yeshua is telling us, keva, the actual doing isn't enough. Today we look at people all over the United States and we say, kavanah is not enough. Just like keva isn't enough, kavanah isn't enough. I'll be a good person. Okay, and? It's good that you want to be a good person, but there's more. There's loving God. Can you be a good person without loving God? This is an argument. I say no. A lot of people out there will say yes. And just like with the creation argument, you just keep saying why, and they end up with, well, you gotta love God. It reduces to that. Just like in creation, you know, what came first? And what happened before that? And what happened before that? And what happened before that? And you end up with God. You can't avoid it. Ben Stein has a great film about this, by the way. But the whole idea is you can't believe something in your heart out of the Bible and not do it. What you're doing is you're saying this is an intellectual exercise. What God means by the Shabbat is not what he says, not that the seventh day is supposed to be, just that you're supposed to take a day off from work. That's all that it means. But it's not what it says. What God says is that we, together, are to take the day off. from avodat chol, from all ordinary work. Kol melechet avodah, lo tasu, you will not do. Us together. And so we should do this. Avodat kodesh, that's okay. Right, holy work. You could do that, that's okay. The priest would bring the sacrifice. David ate the showbread on Shabbos. Right? Who made this argument? Well, let's start with Yeshua. He made the argument. Let's go backwards. Shemaiah and Avtalon, they made the argument. Well, actually, it was Shemaiah. They made the argument. It's with the Zugot. This was commonly understood within Israel. This is the perfect answer for a couple of Prushim that are coming up saying, you're violating Shabbat, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And he says, and he gives them the same argument that everybody had been giving Israel for time immemorial. Right? There's Avodat Kodesh. Right? What's Avodat Kodesh? What's holy work? What can you do? Well, this stuff that I'm doing, you can do that. Right? Charity. You can give charity on Shabbos. It's okay. It's encouraged. Do it anytime. You can help somebody that needs help. Right? If an ox is stuck in a ditch, help the ox. Don't say, I'm going to let the ox die because it's Shabbos. And if it's your ox, it's somebody else's ox. That's Avodat Kodesh. This is something out of the heart that you're giving. This is important. Healing. Do you heal on Shabbat? Of course you heal on Shabbat. Everybody healed on Shabbat. This was a silly argument that Shammai was making. You don't heal on Shabbat. It was taken out of context completely. And here's a blind man. If you can, let me give you a clue. If you see somebody that's blind and you can heal them, don't wait. Whenever it is, do it. And this doesn't violate Torah, not at all. This doesn't violate Torah. So you heal on Shabbat. You feed the hungry. You feed the hungry. Right? The disciples are in a field. And they pick some grain and they winnow it and thresh it in their hands and then they eat the. This isn't going to the corner 7-Eleven and buying a Snickers bar. You gotta be hungry to do this. You gotta be really hungry to do this, right? They're hungry. They can eat on Shabbat. This isn't brand new with Yeshua. This is common understanding. The Zugot had this foundationally. You get people that are trying to hold up Keva without the Kavanah. The doing versus having the heart, the understanding, the compassion. Shammai on the other side had the compassion of, you know what, you're not doing the things to love God. You've got to do this. It's equally important to the Kavanah for what's in your heart. Because it's not really in your heart unless you're doing it. How many people have said, well, the Torah's in my heart now, so I don't have to do it. What does that mean? Said, you don't put on tefillin. No. Well, it's in my heart. Well, if it's in your heart, wouldn't you do it? No, I don't have to do it. It's in my heart. So you can murder people because it's in your heart not to? Does it make, okay. So the whole point is keva and kavana. Do it. Do it completely. Don't make a half-fast effort. Do it. And have it in your heart. Do Shabbat. It says, what's trying to be said here in Hebrews? We're the people of God now. All the more so we should be doing Shabbat. With the proper kavanah. Because we have in our heart the Messiah, our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, So we can do it with the proper kavanah. So do it. Love God. Love each other. Shabbat shalom.